want God to be defining our relationships. And I think we're living in a time and age where we need to hit sex and sexuality head on, because for far too long the church has shied away from a topic and we're letting the devil write the narrative. But God created sex, not the devil.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast at CLC Hammond. We hope that today's sermon is exactly what you needed to hear. For more information about our sermons, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.
Well, today we're in part three of a teaching series we're doing called Love Song. I pray that you've been enjoying it as much as I have. And it's been so much fun. We've been doing a line-by-line breakdown of the Old Testament book, The Song of Solomon. And I want to give credit where credit is due before we dive into the Word today. We borrowed a lot of information and revelation from a pastor named Tommy Nelson. It was one of his life works. He really popularized his study. And also Craig Rochelle and Chris Hodges, two other pastors. So I want to give credit where credit's due. We've stolen a lot of information from them. I'm going to give them credit twice already. I'm going to steal it next week, just so you guys know. But if you haven't been here the last few weeks, let me catch you up really quick on what's been going on. And if you have been here, this is going to be a good review. So the Song of Solomon is a love story that was probably written about 965 BC. So it was written about 1,000 years before Christ was born. And what we need to know about the Song of Solomon really is that it was written as a song. So Solomon in his lifetime wrote estimated of 1,005 songs in his lifetime. And what this is saying is this is the Song of Songs. It's the best song that he wrote. Now, this song is devoted to human love, really in graphic detail, with this one thought in mind. And this thought is this, that God's way not only works, but God's way is better than the world's. Can somebody say amen if you believe it? And a few characters that really keep showing up. You see this lover. That's what he called him, the lover. This is Solomon, okay? Everybody almost unanimously thinks that Solomon wrote Song of Solomon. And then you have this character named the Beloved, which is the Shulamite maiden, which is his wife. And so week number one, we looked at chapter one, and we talked about the art of attraction and what we should really be building in ourselves to attract other people to us. And then week number two, we talked about pursuing our spouse, pursuing the person we might be dating. And Christian Washington broke it down. You guys enjoyed that word last week. It was so good. And then next week, let me tell you, it's probably the most important week for so many relationships. We're going to talk about how do we fight fair. And how do we overcome differences? And actually, Mama Chris McQuay is going to be in the house next week bringing the word. And we're going to watch as this couple in Song of Solomon gets into a massive fight. How many of you guys can relate to that? Don't raise your hands. They get into a massive fight. And we're going to see how they work through it in a godly fashion. Today, though, I want to talk to you about a subject that impacts all of us to one degree or another. We're going to look at Song of Solomon chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles there. Otherwise, we're going to get on the screen. I'm going to get there in just a minute, but that's our text for the day, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. And we're going to talk about Solomon and the Shulamite woman's honeymoon. All right now, hey. And I want to talk to you, and you guys got to pray for me, because my parents are going to be here next service, and here's what I'm talking about today. This is the title of my message, Godly Sex. Okay? So if you want to write that down, that's the title of today's message. And my parents are going to be here and my in-laws at the 11 a.m. service. So this is going to be really weird, but it's all good. So today, the title of today's message for Song of Solomon chapter 4 is Godly Sex. Now let me remind you of the ground rules for the series. We kind of broke them out earlier. How many of you know that sometimes when you talk about relationships, you always think of the other person that needs to hear this message? I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I always think of my friend, like, you really should be listening to what I'm preaching right now, right? And here's the thing though, rule number one, listen for yourself, okay? This is a word, I believe, for so many people here. And so don't be looking at your spouse, be like, you need to listen to the pastor, what he's saying. You don't do this at home, right? This is listen for yourself. Number two, this is so important, no looking back. A lot of times we filter our lives through what has happened, but God makes all things new. And so the baseline of the series is from this day forward, meaning this, that if you've been married 13 times, let's get the 14th one right. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Because we all have a past. How many of you guys have something in your past you don't care to think about anymore? But Jesus makes all things new. And number three, this is probably important for today more than anything. I had one of my friends text me, said he was going to bring his 8-year-old to the service this morning. I said, probably not the best week for you and your son that's 8 to come. But I'm not going to pull any punches. If you haven't read the book of Song of Solomon, I've been doing some blushing throughout this series because it's right in your face. But I promise you it's God's word. And today we're talking about a honeymoon. And so we're going to get real into the words. But I'm going to read it like the Bible says it. And with that in mind, this is really appropriate for 13 and older. It will be appropriate for that, but younger than that, up to you if you want your kids to be in here. I won't be offended if you take them to Kids Life right now. But we think really that the church should be the place where we talk about these things because we don't want the internet, the locker room, the Kardashians to be defining our relationships. We want God to be defining our relationships. And I think we're living in a time and age where we need to hit sex and sexuality head on. Because for far too long, the church has shied away from a topic and we're letting the devil write the narrative. But God created sex, not the devil. I'm going to try not to preach too early today, but we need to understand that sex is something that should be celebrated when it's done right. But we need to talk about it in the church because sex came from God. Sex did not come from the devil. You see, there's three ways you can view sex. You can, and this is what the world does. They view sex as a god, okay? Where everything that you see, it's like sex is put on a pedestal. You see this when you're walking down the grocery store aisles. When you drive down 294, I want you, how many of you guys drove like 10 miles plus to come to church down 294? Count how many ads you see about strip clubs and the lion's den and everything like that. And the devil's offering a cheap knockoff of what God created. And so we can see this is a god, and that's what culture really does. They put it on display like it's this like thing that, but it's not the end thing. It's a great thing, but not the end thing. Here's number two. A lot of people think sex is gross. Sometimes the church falls into this category. It's just something you have to do to make babies, right? It's a dutiful thing. We shouldn't be talking about that, right? Why are you guys talking about this in church, right? But I wanted to remind you very plainly today that God could have made another way for us humans to procreate. Like, think about this. He's God, so, like, he could have created the world where I shook my wife's hand and she got pregnant, but God didn't do that. Glory to God in the highest. He created something that actually creates and babies, but also feels good at the same time. Amen. Glory to God. Can I say that in church? And it's also fun. But God created it. You see, and everything God creates is good, but what the devil does is he takes it and perverts it and taints it and offers a knockoff version of it. And the devil's been holding this message of sex and holding it hostage like he wrote it. But I want to remind you one more time that God wrote the script on this and we need to follow it. And here's what I want you to know today. This is in the word of like an 80-year-old like white pastor named John Piper, if you never heard of him. I love that an 80-year-old white guy said this. It's so funny. He said this, sex is for believers. Yes, a couple people got it. But sex is for believers. You see, the third way we can view sex is sex in the content of marriage is a great gift. And this gift is both wonderful and powerful. And now the wonderful part makes it worth pursuing. The powerful part makes it worth respecting. And I want to press into this a little bit today. And what we learned from Solomon and the Shulamite woman is that godly sex is not really a dutiful thing or a boring thing, but that sex in the context of the marriage bed is a gift from God. Now today I want to give you from the Song of Solomon, I want to show you four different qualities of godly sex, okay? You guys ready? Buckle up your seatbelts. We're about to go in. Here we go. If you guys could turn to chapter 4 of Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, just to review, was how these two, this couple met. Chapter 2 was how they pursued each other. Chapter 3, when you read it, was actually their wedding. It's worth reading. It's really cool. Solomon had 65 groomsmen, and he rode in on this horse, and it was really cool, so you can read that. But chapter 4, what we're going to tap into now is their honeymoon. And so, let me give you the first thing. Here's the first thing about godly sex that we need to understand. Godly sex starts long before the bedroom. And all the ladies all responded. Godly sex starts way before any physical intimacy ever begins. Now, women intuitively know this. They're like, of course, godly sex starts before the bedroom. But men, we need a little work in this department. Because when it comes to sex, men are kind of like microwaves, and women are like crock pots. Some of you can write that down and go home already, right? Women are interested in the journey. Men are interested in the destination. When's a man ready to have sex? Any place, anywhere, anytime? Let's go, right? It's just the way we are. Men have a gift. They can turn any comment into a sexual comment. Right? Like, your wife could be cooking in the kitchen. Can you come help me stir this pot? I'll help you stir this pot. Hey! Right? You know, you need the oil? Honey, go change the oil. I'll help you change the oil. You know, men have a gift. It's a gift, men, right? We can turn any comment into a sexual comment. Pass the salt and pepper. I'll give you some salt and pepper, right? It's just the way guys are. We can take anything and make it sexual. But we need to understand today, and this is especially for men. I'm going to get to the women in just a minute, that godly lovemaking starts long before the bedroom. I want to show you how Solomon honors his bride, how he compliments his bride, how he builds her up, how he shares in something called the conversation, and how he pays very close attention to the details of her life. So let's get to the word. Song of Solomon 4, 1 and 2 says this. Now let me tell you this. Up until this point, this woman has been talking 75% of the time. No surprise there, right? And here, Solomon begins to talk. Now, men, we should write this down. This is a really good tip. He talks to her for 11 verses before touching her. Men, write that down. Says this in 4 and 1. Says, you're beautiful, my darling. Beautiful beyond words. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. And she has a veil on and she takes it back. And he starts where? He starts with her eyes. He starts at the top of her body and starts working down. He looks at her and says, your eyes are beautiful. He goes on and says, your hair falls in waves like a flock of goats winding down the slopes of Gilead. Now, this needs a little bit of interpretation, so you don't take this literally and go home and try this at home. I told Taylor last night, your hair looks like goats, girl. That didn't go over too well. But a Jewish woman would have always had her hair up in this context, and now she's got her hair down. And basically in the context, like, she had her hair up and she took her beret out and she was like this, right? And if you get that picture, and Solomon's like, I like that when your hair looks like, yeah. So that's basically what that is. And he goes from her eyes to her hair, and then he talks about her teeth, and he says, your teeth are as white as sheep. Any guys ever complimented your wife's teeth? Recently shorn and freshly washed. Your smile is flawless. Each tooth matched with its twin. And he's saying here, hey girl, your breath smells good. You got great teeth. And they're all there. Glory to God. Now there's two things like we learned about this woman that are really important. You might want to write this down. Number one that we see is she's not a hockey player. Number two, she's not from Arkansas. Woo! And I want you to notice he's paying very close attention to all the details. Before there's ever physical intimacy, there's emotional intimacy being built, okay? And we need to remember that as men. I wanted to see how true this was. So some of you guys probably thought, I put a poll on Facebook yesterday. I wanted to see how true is this, how different men and women are. So I asked this question on Facebook. I said, what are some things, ladies, that your husband does that you find sexy and attractive? The first person that commented was, I find it sexy when my husband has a dance party with the kids. And I'm like, that is so weird. Right? And the ladies even in this place like, oh, that's so awesome. And other ladies like, I love when my husband does chores without asking. Right? All the ladies, once again, they're like, yes, when he cleans the house, especially the bathroom, seems to get double digits, guys. Pay attention. When you do dishes, they're like, I can't resist my husband when he's doing that. So sexy. Someone else commented on it and was like, straight up, they actually attend here. They're like, my husband knows what happens when he does dishes. And I'm like in the kitchen, like later that night, honey, like, I'm doing the dishes, girl, look, right? And us dudes are sitting here thinking, like, I thought, like, what worked was we get out of the shower and take the towel off and be like, you ready, girl? You know, like, guys are like, this is how it goes down. But guys, we see here that emotional intimacy is so important. See, that's not it. Women are like, it's when you're helping, serving, working around the house, you're ministering to us. Another lady said this, I find it so attractive when my husband stewards our finances well. Another lady said two words, tool period, belt period. She likes a working man. And then another lady just commented, listening. And I'm like, is it really this easy, right? And then I started talking again. But it could be when you have intimate conversations. You just pay attention to the details of her day. Or you ask him how he feels about something, and you just have ongoing conversations. But all this was proving this point, that God-honoring love-making starts long before the bedroom. It may be when you just send a no-reason text in the morning, I'm thinking about you, missing you, girl. You're my dream girl. You're my dream guy. How many of you thankful for technology where you can just do that in the middle of, like, it means so much when you just take the time out to show that you're building each other up. And another poll result I got from this informal poll was this, that godly wives seem to think that a godly man is sexy. And all the ladies said, amen. Ladies were saying stuff like, when my husband uses his gifts to build other people up, I love that. When my husband leads our kids and family in prayer, I love that. Seeing my husband spend time with the Lord, hey now, watch out, right? He's so fine when he's in his word. When I see my husband emotional in God's presence, ladies were like, I actually love that about my husband, that he's emotional. Any ladies say amen to that? I love that. And listen to me, if you want to improve your physical romance, you can start by improving your spiritual relationship with God. Couples, Taylor and I really need to work on this. I'm going to be honest with you, but because we're on two totally different schedules. I'm a morning person because God's glory shows up first crack of the, she's a night owl. Like, she goes to bed late. Yes, thank you, Bruce. He's like, yes. But hear me. One of the best things you can do to improve your intimacy is pray together. Like, when you pray together, man, it makes you closer to God. It makes you closer to each other. And when you're spiritually intimate, it's more natural to be emotionally intimate, which makes it more natural to be physically intimate. And don't just do it so, guys, we have this equation, right? I'm going to pray with you, girl, right? Okay? But here's the thing. Do it so you can grow closer to God. Gentlemen, there's also one other tool you can use that's really effective, and it's out of the purity of your heart. I'm going to call this NST. Now, what does that mean? It means non-sexual touching. Now, the guys are looking at me like, what do you mean? I mean non-sexual touching. Like, you actually give your wife a back rub without an end goal in mind. And you see, it means so much when people are doing it out of the intimacy of their heart. And all these things build the emotional and fill the emotional tank so that later on there's an outlet for physical intimacy. But godly sex starts long before the bedroom. And Solomon goes on about the details of his bride as he's working his way down. He doesn't just say, hey, hot mama, come and get you some, right? He's into the details. Watch what he says. He says in verse 3, he says, your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates. These are so weird. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates behind your veil. Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled with the shields of 1,000 heroes. Now, that sounds like an odd compliment to compliment somebody's neck, but the Tower of David back in the day was the most noble place of the village. It was a place of respect. And what he was saying is, I love the way you carry yourself. You're confident. You're secure. I like that. It means a lot to me that you love who you are. And remember in the first chapter, she didn't think anything about who she was. She said, look, I'm ugly. I'm dark. Don't look at me. And he's saying, hey, I'm going to wash those feelings away by telling you who you are in Christ. And he's building her up. And because God-honoring lovemaking starts long before the bedroom, number two is this. Godly sex is passionate. All right, you guys ready to dive into this? All right, this is in the Bible. I didn't write this. Verse 5. Your breasts are like two fawns, twin fawns of a gazelle grazing among the lilies. What's Solomon saying? He's saying if you ever see two baby deer out in a field, guys, what happens if you run up like, hey, honka, honka, I'm coming to get you? They run away. He's saying when you approach your wife, you need to come gently, right? And he's saying, if you come running, you're going to scare the fawns away, and the fawns are going to run to the forest, and you don't get to play with the fawns. It's in the Bible. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you. That's why, gentlemen, listen, gentlemen, we need to work on our approach. Approach matters. Start long before the bedroom. Sometimes we need to work on our approach. Work on listening skills, building her up. Work on your approach. And ladies, I'm ready for you now. Ladies, make an approach. Here's a tip. Whatever you got, it looks better in lace than it does in flannel. And I know some of those, like, some of you walk around in moon suits at night after you've been married for like 3 months, right? And it's like, how are you wearing a hoodie and flannel pants in the middle of summer? Throw that thing away. Make an approach. And I'm telling you this. Your husband wants you to want him out of desire, not to give in to him out of duty. Because when you make a move on your man, OMG, it's sexy. I didn't tell Taylor I was going to tell this story, so I'll ask for forgiveness later. Hi, honey, if you're watching online, you'll be at the 11. It's going to be super uncomfortable. Taylor texted me one day, and I have my text that go, anybody have the glorious iPhones and the Mac line of products, right? And it's glorious. I feel bad for Android users. So my text messages go to my computer, and I was sitting in a meeting, and Pastor Jerry doesn't know this, he's my boss. Sitting in a meeting, and this text goes off in the middle of a meeting, and Taylor said, hey, I can't wait till you're home, period, it's on, dot, dot, dot. And I'm like shielding my screen, like, anybody see this? Like staring at my clock, I'm turning red, Pastor Jerry's like, are you okay? Yeah, everything's cool, Pastor, I'm just, And like all day, I'm like looking at the clock. I'm like, I can't wait to get home. I got a contract. It's in writing in two places, on my phone and my computer. Her name's on it. I got home at 5:30 that day from work. I said, listen, Daniel, are you ready to go to bed? I know the sun's still out, but I'm home. You know, so here's the thing. But I'm telling you, there's something. Guys, somebody say amen. There's something about when your wife pursues you, when you don't feel like you have to beg, when they want you out of their own heart's desire, when they pursue you, and it's not out of duty, it's out of desire for you. See, your lady wants you to, or your husband wants you to want them out of desire. So guys, we need to work on our approach. Ladies, please make an approach. And admittedly, life is complicated. So sometimes, hear me, this is real practical. Like, set a date night, get a babysitter, bring in dinner, put candles on in the bathroom, whatever it takes. Put on some Marvin Gaye. Because literally, sometimes life is so crazy, if you don't plan for passion, it won't happen. Like, put it on your calendar. Like, write it in Monday Madness, right? Thankful Tuesday. Wow, wow, Wednesday. Somebody better stop me. I keep on going, right? Throw down Thursday. Here we go, glory to God. Freaky Friday, hey! And if you make it to Saturday, you need to take a Sabbath. Amen, glory to God. Is it all right to have fun at church, everybody? Solomon goes out in verse 6 and says this. He says this, Solomon. He says, before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee, I will hurry to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. And what he's saying in translation is, we're going to hang out till the sun comes out. You know, like Lionel Richie stole these lyrics for his song All Night Long, but he plagiarized the Bible. He's saying, all night, right? And hashtag, that's in the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. That's verse 6 right there. You should read your Bible. It's amazing. You can read any other historical document from this era, and every time sex is mentioned, it's for procreation. But you look in the Bible and says, yes, obviously for procreation, but God says it's also for recreation. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. Circle that verse. Thanks be to God for His Word. Godly lovemaking starts long before the bedroom. It's passionate. This is really important. Godly sex is secure. As we keep going down this line, and we're going line by line here, let's look at verse 7. Solomon says this to his new wife. He says, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. Beautiful in every way. I love the NIV translation. It says this, you're altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. Other translations, I love it, no flaw in you. And this is so important in any relationship, especially in a marriage. He was valuing her for who she was. And he's looking at her and saying, you are my new standard of beauty. He's looking at her and saying, you are the standard of beauty in my eyes. Men, our wives should be the standard of beauty in your own eyes. And I think there's a message for every husband here, whether your wife is 28, 82, or 106. She is to be your standard of beauty in your eyes. In other words, don't compare your wife to some other young chick in the office. She is the measurement of your beauty. She's the standard. And in your eyes, you find no flaw in her. that no one will ever measure up to her in your eyes. And by the way, this is for men and for women in today's society. It's why pornography is so dangerous. Because a lot of times you're like, whatever, I'm looking and I'm not touching. But here's what's happening. Here's why the big deal is. Because you're actually holding your wife accountable to a standard that is not biblical, number one. Number two, it's airbrushed. Number three, it's fake. Number four, it's not realistic. And you're holding your wife to a standard of what you see on Instagram and websites rather than vowing your wife that there's no flaw in her so she doesn't need to be compared to some porn star. Let me tell you, this is the standard of beauty and elegance. I've been reminding myself of this, is Taylor Hamstrom. For me, she's the definition of beauty. When I look at her, I'm like, you are completely fine and you're all mine. Glory to God, right? She is my standard of elegance. She's my standard of beauty. She's my standard of fashion. You know what, all ladies here, in my eyes, you have to live up to her. I don't care what you do, she's the standard. And guys, we should be the same way with your wives. Guys who are dating, treat your girlfriend that way too. Honor them. And ladies, let's not be ignorant today and act like this is one-sided. It goes both ways. Don't compare your husband to somebody else physically, spiritually. I've heard it a lot of times. I wish you would pray more like him. You know what your guy's going to do? Go run in a hole and not ever pray in front of you again. They should be the standard physically, spiritually, emotionally. Your husband should be your standard in all your ways. So godly sex is secure. And on that note, we must learn in the intimacy of marriage to always respect one another's bodies. You never come in and say, wow, must have been a sale on Twinkies at Strack this week, huh? It's a bad joke, but some people talk that way. You never make a negative comment about your spouse's body, never. Under any circumstances, make a negative comment about your spouse's body. And the reality is really, like, when you get married physically, it's about the best it's going to be. Right? Gravity kind of takes place and goes from the twin fawns to, you know, and guys, you know, hair starts falling out. But you know, nature takes its course. But here's the thing, we need to learn to honor our spouses physically in all ways. When you look at them, there's no flaw in you. And God-honoring sex starts way before the bedroom. It's passionate, it's secure, and last but not least, godly sex is holy. Young adults, hear me today. I want to talk to single people for a minute. What's the big deal about premarital affairs? I want to tell you. So many people are like, it's only sex, whatever. But it's really not. The big idea of all this is that godly sex is holy. What does holy mean? Holy means set apart, to be different, to be pure in a way that others are not pure. And Solomon looks at his wife in verse 12 and says, you are my private garden, my treasure, my bride. He says, you are a secluded spring, a hidden fountain. What's he saying? He's saying, you're a virgin. This is our wedding night. You saved yourself for me. And now in the last couple weeks, we've been pressing into this a little bit, and I've been getting some feedback like, do you understand that it's 2018 and not 1984? And you know what? I've said the same thing before. I'm going to say it again. The Word of God has not changed. His standard is still the same. We don't bend our standards to culture. Culture should be trying to strive for God's way of life, and God's not trying to withhold fun from you. God is saying, if you do it in my time, my way, I'm going to bless you in such a way that you're not even going to understand. But it will be worth the wait. But you need to understand that you can't be going around sleeping with everybody, because godly sex is holy. Here's the reason it's holy. Because when you get married to someone, you don't enter a contract. You enter a covenant before God. And a covenant is binding spiritual agreement. That's why in a covenant we say this, till death do us part. It's not until I'm not happy. It's not like you read in Hollywood, irreconcilable differences. Really, again, it's because they're in a contract and not a covenant. It's not until you're not meeting my needs anymore, I'm going to find somebody else who I can. It's till death does us part. And anytime a covenant was established by God and God's people, there would be a shedding of blood. And you look in the Old Testament, they killed the bull, and they put the bull, and they put the bull in half, and they did this all the time. Anytime in the Old Testament, there was shedding of blood for this covenant. But here's the thing, we don't live in the old covenant, we live in the new covenant. And we're not under the old covenant anymore, but the new one. And what did Jesus do to establish the new covenant? He was without sin. And he shed his blood on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, and he died and rose again. And if you ever take the Lord's Supper, it's what we celebrate, which represents the body and the blood of Christ. Because he shed his blood that we're not under the old covenant anymore, but the new covenant. Now by grace through faith, our sins are forgiven and we're made whole. And in God's perfect world, here's what happens. Jesus said, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The two become one. What is love making? It's an outward, invisible sign of the inward and spiritual covenant that when you're joined with your spouse physically, you're no longer two, but you're united in one. And in God's perfect world, the virgin man on the honeymoon night would enter his virgin woman, and there would be shedding of blood, and the covenant would be established before God that there are no longer two, but are one. And that is why sex just isn't great and fun, but it's holy when it's done right. Because every time you share in the gift of lovemaking, in a very real sense, you're renewing your covenant vows, saying, you belong to me, I belong to you. We're one flesh in the eyes of God. And so not only is it fun, thrilling, passionate, makes babies, but it's intensely spiritual. And that's why God created it, one of the many reasons. So therefore, we remember we are now in a covenant together with one another. And the challenge a lot of times, the way we talk about it, and I think we're all guilty to some extent, is that when it comes to sex, the answer for our kids is always no, 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 no. And then on honeymoon, it's like, yes, 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 right? And you're confused and there's guilt and you really don't know what's going on. So instead of no, I want to encourage us to say this, wait. Why? Because there's something on the other side that's worth waiting for. There's something so holy, so great, it's worth the wait. So there's four characteristics of godly sex. And I want to show you the response of this couple. He's honored her. He's cherished her. He's listened to her. And in verses 15 and 16, I'm not going to read them because I can't read it without blushing. But it's some of the most graphic things you'll ever read. I was going to explain it to you, but I told Taylor I wouldn't. So you can read it at home on your own, but basically two become one. So four characteristics of godly sex. Starts long before the bedroom. It's passionate. It's secure. It's holy. I'm thinking, like, how in the world am I going to end this message? And the scripture came to me. James 1 and 22 says this. We'll get it up on the screen for you. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. All the God. I'm just kidding. Let me tell you as we close what's going on right now. Maybe some guilt. Maybe some regret. Like, we didn't do things that way. Right? I can raise my hands. I didn't do things this way. And there are those of you who are sitting right next to your boyfriend, girlfriend right now, you're like, man, we're like not even close to this. And then there's people who are married going, man, we didn't do this the right way. And there's some of you who willingly gave your virginity away. Some of you was taken from you at the hands of a monster and you were abused and it's awful. And there's so many different emotions that are going on probably in the room as we're talking about this and you're thinking to myself, I'm not holy. I don't feel holy. But here's what I want to remind you and that you need to understand today. Who makes things holy? Not you, but Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. One touch from God can right every wrong that you've ever experienced in your life by the blood of Jesus. And here's the thing. If you want to be made holy, what it takes is one touch from God to make you holy again. You might have walked in completely dirty, but you can walk out in God's eyes white as snow by one touch from Jesus Christ. So don't you dare walk out of here feeling guilty and full of shame on what's going on. You walk out of here with your held out high because Jesus Christ was sent to this world to die for you, to wash you clean, not so you could work for holiness, but by one touch he could give it to you because you don't make yourself holy. He's the only one who can make you holy. And I believe that's why many of you are here today. You might not know why, but a lot of you are blending in right now, but God wants you to stand out, be set apart, and live a holy life. He's got something far better than the world has to offer. And when you're touched by him, you're going to experience the life that God wants you to have. Amen and amen. Can you all stand to your feet today? Close your eyes. I wanted to close just with a time of prayer. I'm just going to ask, nobody's looking around, but how many of you guys would say today, I want to honor God in this category of sexual purity? You know, you might be 12, you might be 102. How many of you know it's still a godly thing to go after sexual purity? And if you would say that today, can you just raise your hands in the air? I'm going to be sexually pure. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for all the men in this place. I pray for the teenagers, young adults. Lord, I pray for strength, wisdom, courage to stand strong so they don't blend in but stand out. I pray for people that are in between marriages. One didn't work out. They're waiting for the right person, that they stay pure. Father, I lift up all the men in this place. I bind the spirit of pornography in lives right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, for husbands to have fresh eyes as they were when they first laid eyes on their spouses. I pray, Lord, even when they look at them on the way home, they're like, OMG, you're so fine. Father, I pray for renewing, just a sense of renewal in marriages. Freshness, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this just be a time of great intimacy, not only in the bedroom, but emotionally, spiritually, God. I pray, Lord, for power couples that stand strong together in the Word of God. Father, I pray for women in this place, Lord, who feel like they've been forgotten. Lord, I speak life over them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that their homes, Lord, be resorts, Lord. When they walk in, they feel honored. They feel special, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord, just for a refreshing to hit. And Lord, we just love you so much. And Father, today as a church, Lord, all around this room, we're committing to sexual purity, oh God, in a society where it's hard. I just hear the Lord saying, some of us need to delete Instagram. There's things you've been looking at that you don't need to be looking at. Delete those apps on your phone that you've been going to. God said, get them out of the way and start looking up. He's going to take care of everything. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we're marked by purity, God. I pray, Lord, that you find a stainless bride, oh God, that you can pour your oil into and work through us, oh God. And Father, for all those, Lord, who've fallen from your plan, Lord, I speak life over them right now in the name of Jesus. For people here who have been like, man, I shouldn't have done that, and I got this taken away, I speak life over you in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you so much, and we worship and we adore you in this place. And maybe you're here today, and we're talking about sex and Jesus. You're like, what in the world is going on? But can I tell you today, we have a room full of people who can really testify to, you know what, I was nothing before the grace of God hit me. How many of you could say it was the grace of God that freed me? I messed up, but God gave me another chance. And then I messed up and he gave me another chance. And I'm not just talking about sexuality. I'm talking about we blew it, but God said, in my eyes, you're perfect when you ask for forgiveness. And I'm telling you today, I believe that people are going to have a divine encounter with the grace of God, that he's going to wash you clean once again, that you walked in one way. God said, you're walking out a virgin in my eyes, pure, spotless before him. If you would say, today's the day, I want to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's nothing to play with. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be the best thing you've ever done in your life. And there's a group of people here. We're going to support you and love you and disciple, and we're going to do life together. But if you would say, today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day I'm coming home. Today's the day I surrender my life to Jesus Christ once and for all. I want everything God has in my life. If you would say that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to celebrate. On the count of three, one, two, three. Anybody say, today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day I'm coming home. Well, glory to God. I believe we're all believers in this room today. If you could, grab the hand of your neighbor. We did this last week. We're going to do it again. I'm just going to ask you to pray to the person on the left or right of you right now. Really pray for strength and courage. You know, the devil, I believe this is one of his greatest strategies. He puts all these things in front of our face. We're going to pray for strength and courage and purity. Just begin to bless your neighbor on the left or right. If you have a word for him, release it right now. Lord, we love you, we worship, and we adore you. We lift you up in this place in Jesus' name. And all God's children shout, amen. Can we give God a shout of praise in this place?
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. For more information about our weekly services and to stay connected, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.